Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
How you see yourself is how others see you. How you see yourself in Christ is how others see Christ in you. Before Dr. Mimi Chapman became the chair of faculty at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, she was taught in 10th grade Sunday school here at Trinity by Pat Coventry. She was taught in middle school, 8th grade Sunday school by Sue Moore. What Mimi remembers so clearly from that time in her middle school years when life is just awkward and strange in its own way is what Ms. Moore taught them every Sunday as they began class as a way that each of them could begin their days. Three truths. Know your identity. Simply say, my name is. For Mimi, she would say, my name is Mimi. Second, God loves me. Third, I am of worth. My name is, God loves me, therefore I am of worth. When Dr. Chapman was working at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore before moving to Chapel Hill, she was working with traumatized people, and one particular woman was traumatized by rape and by beating. And in the moment of her coming to her as a social worker, in this person's recovery, she felt the message of Sue Moore come back to her for this situation. And what she said to this person, say with me this, my name is, and she said her name. God loves me, and she said, God loves me. And then she said, I am of worth. No matter how hard life has beat upon us, that we may have the response of the love of God being the source of our identity and therefore knowing who we are in light of any situation to be able to find our place. I'm going to ask you to say it with me right now using your name. My name is Les. God loves me. Whether you're on Facebook Live or online, again, join here in the third line. I am of worth. This identity of how you see yourself is how others will see you. How you see yourself in Christ is how others see Christ in you. So it is that this movement of God's love, revolutionizing the world, seeking to restore a lost world into the kingdom, began with a movement of the Messiah called Christ. The earliest followers were called people of the way. They were called believers, but it was in Antioch, like August read the scripture for us today, that we were first called Christians. There were the Herodians, the followers of the King Herod. There were the Romans, the people of the Roman Empire. There were Christians. And they were called Christians because they talked about Christ. They talked about this new experience that they had experienced in their life through Christ. They talked about the power of being loved and a grace that heals us from sin and the power to know that there is a source of authority greater than the Roman Empire, greater than the oppressors, or greater than any other human being. It is the source of the Lord Christ. So we may know this. That your identity sends you, says who you are, and sustains you. Your identity then sends you into each day. It says who you are in each day and sustains you through each day. Earlier last week, during the evening time, I was walking through the kitchen. And Vicky was cutting potatoes for our evening meal. She called me over to the counter and she said, I want you to see this. And so she showed me a potato in the shape of a heart. It had grown from the ground like a heart-shaped potato. It had been there harvested from the ground as a heart-shaped potato. And there in the hands of the one preparing the meal, it was not lost on her that this was in the shape of a heart. And so it is that the heart of God lets our hearts know that his heart of love speaks his love into our lives. What was said to the people of the earliest followers of Christ called Christians is that they encouraged people to follow the Lord with all their heart. The beat of our identity comes from the heart. The power of how God works within our life is the power of how God provides us in the way to be the truth in Christ. And so it is that we find that we are then sent in the power of the Christ. When you open the passage today, I trust that you will, in your device or in your traditional book-bound volume of the Bible, you may open it and ask, Lord, speak to me, speak your message to me. So you see an image here when I was working through the text today, letting it speak its message to me. I asked, you know, Lord, what is the message that you're speaking out of the text for me? That's the question we always ask when we open the scripture. And the reason we open scripture is to squarely put ourselves in God's presence, in the awareness that God is with us. And we ask for the Lord to speak out of the text a message into our life. For me, then that can begin by using different colors that I will code the parts of the passage so that the different individual parts of the text from God can come together and show a whole pattern of what this passage is about. And it became clear for me in this Acts 11, 19 through 30 passage is that the whole pattern was conveying our identity, knowing who we are in Christ. And how we can help others to know the best version of themselves is by being a Christian. That being our identity in Christ is a way to hold us together in the many ways that we're known as a husband, as a mother, as an uncle, as an aunt, as a weekend warrior, as an attorney, as a factory worker, as a taxpayer, as an American, as a you fill in the blanks. All of those various identities will simply leave us fragmented unless we have a way to be made whole. And that's why this identity in Christ sends us into the day with a purpose that is so beautiful that it includes us, but it is bigger than who we are. For instance, there was the movement of the gospel after the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Stephen knew so clearly who he was in Christ, that in the midst of his faith in Christ that would require his life, he would pray out from the Spirit for God to forgive the people who were stoning him. The persecution began, and so many of the earliest believers, before they had the name Christian, were dispersed. And as they were dispersed, they took the message with them. That message was called good news. It's called gospel in the English. And so some of them went to the islands back of their home countries of Cyprus and Cyrene. Then some went there to Antioch. And when they went to Antioch, they went to the third largest city in the Roman Empire. There was Rome to the west. There was Alexandria to the coast in Egypt to the south. And then to the far east of the Mediterranean Sea was the third largest city of Antioch. And so they went into this metropolitan center and they brought their faith with them because their identity was through their faith. They went there on this message. And as they went there, they did what was normal for them. They shared it with people of like kind background. They were Jewish in background, so they shared it with Jews. But there were some entrepreneurs, there were some experimenters who said, well, this is such good news that we shouldn't just share it with those of our own background, but with everyone. There had been the winning experiment in Acts 8 where Philip shared it with a soldier in the riding his chariot, an Ethiopian who wanted to hear this word, a person from North Africa. There is the story of Peter going to Caesarea in Israel, speaking to the centurion Cornelius. But there hadn't been a broad way of sharing the gospel with people of a different background. And so these entrepreneurs of the faith, knowing their identity in Christ, understanding the power of the scripture, went under the authority that the good news is for everyone. When we are free in Christ Jesus, we help other people be free. As we're free in Christ Jesus, we know that that is a liberation movement for everyone. As we are experiencing the depth of pain for people who've been beaten up on life or who have been the oppressors beating up others in life, there's the equally the message that you can be healed and made whole and transformed by bringing your full self into Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord was the message they took to Antioch, the Roman Empire's third largest city. And that in Antioch, there were Greeks and Jews, there were Italians, there was a whole mixture of the world. This thing about the urbanization of society and the mixture of many different beliefs, it's not new to the 21st century. That was the very context by which the movement began. And the clarity of Christ made it clear for them to share the good word, how we can experience it in our life. Some of us were at the Japanese tea garden of the Sunken Gardens last evening for a memorial service of one of our members, that's Judge James Franklin Chapman, Jim Chapman. He lived to be almost 100 years old, 3 months shy. I call him, that's close enough for me. He said he lived a century. And in the midst of his 10 decades of life, Jim continued to grow his early identity from farm life in southwestern Missouri. He would then fight in the difficulties and the pain of World War II in the Pacific. He would come back and married, and then he was responsible for the whole judicatory system of the Navy and the Marines on the Eastern Seaboard before he retired from the military and came to the United States with a long-term distinguished service as a judge. He and Jim had one daughter, Mimi, the same person to whom I began the service. And it was that Jim particularly that helped to shape this identity within his daughter and the life they shared together. This is a photograph that was taken just a year ago. He was 99 years old in his wheelchair when his daughter again took him back to a familiar space that after worship on Sunday mornings here at Trinity, they would frequently go to Breckenridge Park, the Sunken Gardens, as father and daughter and have a moment before they'd go on to the rest of their Sunday. So 99, there he is, mind fully clear, absorbing the moment, continuing to let his life be lived each day on earth. Take the gift of your identity and let it be the source that sends you into each day. So there it was, these entrepreneurs of the faith by the authority in Christ. They took the identity of the gospel as good news to Antioch. In doing so, then people celebrated that they were loved of God, that they could call out their name and to say, God loves me, I am of worth. And in doing so, they became then believers. Well, the word got around. And the word got around again to the mother church in Jerusalem. And there was some discussion of whether this was a good thing or bad thing, because these are people different from us. And it's one thing for an individual to do it, from Ethiopia, an individual called Cornelius of the Roman army. But a whole group of people outside of Jerusalem, outside of Israel, in Antioch, what we take as given today in the 21st century. This was groundbreaking identity, a groundbreaking understanding. But even as we now are doing things in ways we have never done before through Facebook Live and live streaming, by Zooming in classes, various platforms, to get together, to be able to communicate the story the way that we are not worn down by life, is letting this power to continue to communicate a message within us that we are sent into each day with a purpose bigger than who we are, but that includes us, and it says who we are and guides us along the way. That's what our identity does. The identity speaks our life. It speaks our story. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who first said the line, that who you are speaks so loud I cannot hear what you're saying. The power of who you are as a person is really the definition of your message. If there is the gap between what you say and what you do, then what you say is not heard with credibility. Therefore, to be the message enables us to extend the message. It was essential then for those early sharers of the good news. These were craftsmen and craftswomen. These were people of the marketplace, different backgrounds, going there just out of the good news, transporting their life, setting up their work, their shops in a new city in order to tell this good news. And people could see a consistency, as it was said of the early Christians. They will know we are Christians by our love. And the power of this love then speaks a message that opens hearts and minds to say, something is going on in your life that I want in my life also. So this church, mother church back in Jerusalem, hearing what was happening up in Tarsus, they sent a representative on their behalf to check it out. And by the grace of God, they chose the best one they could possibly send, and his name was Barnabas. Many of you know the name Barnabas. It means son, bar, of encouragement. That Barnabas was called by the apostle. That was his nickname. Called by the apostles with a nickname, the son of encouragement. Now, the difference between encouragement and flattery is this. Encouragement always speaks the truth to build people up. Flattery will try to make people feel good about themselves in order to get something from them. Flattery doesn't go beyond the surface moment. But encouragement speaks the blessing of God into the lives of people. And Barnabas was known as one who could speak this truth into the lives of people. And as soon as he arrived in Antioch, he looked around and he saw what was happening and he was encouraged. He gave good news. He celebrated. He did what CMAC asked us to do in the prayer of Thanksgiving, to be able to be aware for which we are grateful and to say it and to give it out. And so he did. And then he encouraged them again to be true to, with all their heart, to their identity in Jesus Christ. They were sustained. So then Barnabas went to Antioch. He arrived. He did the celebration piece. And in doing so, with his message of encouragement. Now, what empowered him to do this on its regular basis? We're asking ourselves, really every day of our changed lifestyle with COVID-19, how can I continue to live this victorious life in Christ when I'm not feeling joyous, when I'm having to adapt and pivot and pivot and make these adjustments? And there's a source for that. That was true in Barnabas' life. None of us graduate beyond our need to be a good person shaped by the character of God. There are no off moments. We can't say, well, it's COVID-19. I have a right not to be a good person. The very essence of who we are is salt and light, is to let the goodness of God dwell inside of us when we're trying to work through all of this feeling in our life. Our code words today is to be authentic, to be transparent, to be real. But in the midst of being authentic and transparent and real, it is to allow a goodness of God to shape us beyond who we would be without Him. Because it is in Him that we are most real, most authentic, and have something really to offer by being transparent. And so as He was there, He was also seen to be full of the Holy Spirit. Meaning the Spirit of God was working and shaping and forming his life. Do you ever get tired of being you? Do you ever want to be somebody other than who you are? Well, that person that God is shaping today in you is the same person who continued to grow into a transformation of the person you want to be in light of Christ. But don't give in to the temptation of our world, and that is to try to be someone else. Be yourself in Christ. And for the people of God to be ourselves in Christ. Have you noticed that there are countries by which believers don't use the word Christian, like in Israel? Christians don't use the word Christian because it's been so identified either with politics or so identified with one particular denomination that it doesn't carry helpful meaning. Or when a political party, such as in certain countries of Europe, take on the name as Christian fill in the blank political party, it already begins to diminish itself. There is no one political system that can take all of this identity of Christ. That what happens is that way of thinking begins to change and morph Christ into the image of the party, instead of letting the image of Christ change the people that then shape that party and other parties. The reason why America is not simply known to be identified as a Christian nation isn't because it wasn't Christians who first formed our identity as settlers into a land, but it's because that we knew that as we came to our identity in this land, we could not force that identity as a Christian on others. But we could live life in such a way that it would be attractive in inviting people into the story of the way. Did you know it wasn't until the early 1830s that in Massachusetts you had to be a member of a particular denomination? Or in Virginia, you would have to be an Episcopalian or Anglican until about that same time. It was a denomination that would force itself on others. And the power is to say there is no one denomination that can convey all the truth and the power of this gospel of Christ. But as an American, I am a Christian. And you know the largest export of America to the world is our pop culture. Have you been in the situation that I've been in? Maybe on a plane and there's a movie being shown to everyone and it's an American movie and you're thinking, oh my gosh, there are people coming to the United States for the first time and they're seeing this movie and they think this is who all of us are. And the most of the people of the world who think of Americans, they think, well, that's a Christian nation. May it be so. Indeed, may the power of the gospel reign so clearly in the lives of Christians in America that we are contagious and people voluntarily saying as they did in Antioch, I believe. My name is, the love of God is with me and I am of worth through Christ Jesus. The power cannot be sacrificed to any other identity and the world will try to brand us into their own identity, and then the Spirit sustains. Our identity then sends us into each day with a purpose that includes us, but that is larger than us. It says our message, wherever we go, and guides us along the way. That's how we know who we are. Trinity Baptist Church knows who we are in the midst of this pandemic because we're a caring family of believers communicating and applying the life-changing message of Christ's unconditional love. We come with promises that joining into the faith family of Trinity enables you to grow in love, to grow spiritually, to grow in friendships, and to be able to grow in using your gifts in ministry for others. By knowing who we are in the midst of a crisis keeps us centered. And the Holy Spirit comes to continue to sustain us in these times. So when Barnabas arrived in Antioch, he knew that the work of God was there and he wanted a partner. He felt the impression of God speaking into him, a conviction that Saul, who had become Paul, who was converted, that we saw in the story of Acts 9, that Barnabas had first spoken on his behalf back to the early mother church in Jerusalem. He was the right one to ask and come and help in that work. So he went by foot 145 miles to Tarsus to the west, and he hooked up with Paul. He had to find him, meaning that probably Paul was not accepted back in his home city after he had become a believer in Christ. He had to refine himself in a community in his home city. But when Barnabas found him, he told him what was happening in Antioch. And then Barnabas said, you are the apostle to the Gentiles. You come here. Otherwise, Paul had been forgotten by everyone else, but not by Barnabas. There are people in your life that are remembered by you that lets them know they are known by God. That just by like a text message that you gave earlier in the service to someone is a way of saying God knows you and I am remembering you and I know you. Even the first people that went to Antioch, we don't know their names from Cyprus and Cyrene, those first entrepreneurs of the faith, but God knew their name. And when they arrived in heaven after the life on earth, the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I know you and what you did." And the power of this work in Acts 11 is that Saul then went, and he and Barnabas worked together for a year. Saul, become Paul, was a tent maker. He set up his career. He set up his professional shop there as a tent maker. Again, sharing the hope and the promise of Christ Jesus, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and they grew in numbers by the attractiveness of the faith in Christ. This is a time that your influence can be uniquely blessed by God by your faithfully going and the encouragement into the lives of others, helping them to know their identity in Jesus. By first, you're knowing your identity in Christ. How did you get your name? As I began, I asked if for you to say your name and then to say, "God loves me and I am of worth." A person gave a name to you when you were born. How about your nickname, the nicknames that you have? How did you get those? Like Johnny Cash, a boy named Sue. How is it that you are known by people beyond your given name or your nickname? Who you are as a person? My good news for you is first the encouragement. You are loved by God in a way to be a person who loves others, and through Christ to know they are loved. Whatever your work field is, whatever neighborhood in which you live, wherever that you travel in the midst of these strange days or connect on a platform, that's really your message. And by how you do your work and live your life, the Spirit will touch the lives of people to say, "I want to know more of what makes you, you." So, the question is, how you see yourself is how others will see you. And how you see yourself in Christ is how others see Christ in you.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.